And now Horn. Stewart wants it. And looks for Amakachi!
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go whoa.
Hello Blues, welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. On this episode, we'll explore why Everton still haven't beaten Liverpool since 2010. That's 17 games and counting now, which is utterly, utterly pathetic. Plus, why was Yannick Bolasie walking those last 10 minutes and what could have been some good saves from Pickford? And does Allardyce actually care? All that, and we'll read out your three-word reviews from Twitter. I'm joined by Groucho and Jim Keoghan for this podcast. I think Jim's microphone was a little bit iffy, so there's a little bit of background noise, so you'll have to forgive me for that and try and listen past it. Again, all that and more on this week's edition of the Grand Old Team podcast. Hello and welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. As always, thank you for joining us. In fact, double thank you for joining us this week, because I suppose a few of you can't really be arsed with Everton anymore, and that would be fine. I would excuse you for that. I am joined by Groucho, who is back from his absence. Grouch, how are you?
I'd do better if we'd have won yesterday, but not so bad.
More importantly, what are you drinking? Anything?
No, I'm at tea today. I'm in work tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. What have you drank this weekend, though?
I've been in work the weekend. I've been good.
When was the last time you drank?
Have
you got nothing to tell? Normally, you're telling us about some funky ale that you've been drinking.
No, I've been, not Portuguese red wine. That's the best I can do at the minute.
Okay. What's that like?
Yeah, I know.
Good.
I've got to be, of all the local supermarket wines that are widely available, I reckon Portuguese reds are sort of the best at the minute. It's just a shame it's red, but one of them.
Yeah. Jim Keegan's on the line as well. Jim, how are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
Yeah, what have you been drinking?
Just tea, really.
Just tea?
Yeah. Right,
boring podcast, lad. Do you know what I mean? We had to sit through that yesterday, and thought someone was
I think we deserve even more brownie points for doing it sober.
True. I had a pint of Warsteiner today. Has anyone drank that before?
Yeah, I think I have actually. I can't remember what. I think I had it in a bottle.
Did you? I assume it's German. Warsteiner. It sounds quite German. It sounds like Warsteiner sounds like he plays for Cologne, Dunny at the back. You know what I mean? Like a big, tall, blonde fella that you meet in the Europa League.
That's just one of those normal. It's not one of those cloudy white ones, is it? That's just a normal lager, isn't it?
It's just a lager, I think, but it was quite nice anyway. All right, lads, so 17 games now that Everton haven't beaten Liverpool for. Grouch, you give me your thoughts first on this, and then we'll ask Jim. Why is it that Everton, in your opinion, haven't beaten Liverpool now in 17 games?
It can only be psychological, I think. I mean, they say form goes out the window, which I suppose it sort of did. Man City at us last week, and then Liverpool at Man City, and I thought, Christ, we're going to be on the end of, a 7-0 derby defeat or something. And I said, when the best, I know we weren't atrocious, but the best thing you can say about it was okay, we didn't get beat. That's not great, is it? Like I said to you the other day, since we won our last derby, I've had two kids and we're still waiting. It can only be psychological, I think.
Jim, what's your thinking on this? If you could put it down to one thing out of everything, have you got any kind of thoughts on why we haven't beaten them now in so long?
No, I agree. I think they've got a hold over us. And kind of the longer it goes on, the worse it gets. I mean, there have been times when they've clearly been a better team than we have, but that's not been the case all the time. There have been opportunities for us to beat them, but it's getting to the point now where you can't even imagine us winning.
No.
That shouldn't be the case, really, because, most teams can beat Liverpool. There's nothing, there's no reason why we can't beat them in a season. They haven't always been better than us, and they won't always be better than us in the future. But at the moment, when the derby rolls up, you're just thinking, let's not get beat, which is that's awful.
Yeah, there's also as well, what's strange about this run is there's been times since we beat them last that we finished above them. I think we finished above them twice. So that and here's the thing that I always say after they beat us, and this is having a dig at the Reds, and I always get a bit of a rise from them online from this, but you know, I kind of say, look, I'd accept it if you were Barcelona or Real Madrid, but it's Liverpool, and you know what I mean? It's not even like they've had better sides than us within this period, but they've also had worse sides, and you're dead right to point out the fact that the longer this keeps on going, the worse it'll get, if it can get any worse than this, you know? But did you, Grouch, did you feel yesterday like that was a defeat?
Especially with the last 25 minutes, yeah. I mean, we did everything except score then. We could have won that. It wasn't the greatest game we've ever played, but we could have won that. And it wouldn't have been a lucky win, if you like. Because, yeah, they might have had more possession. I'm certainly not saying we were the better side. But we kept them out. Pickford, I know you want to mention him later. He made a couple of good saves. But he wasn't overworked.
Mm.
And we had ample opportunities to score at the end, at least. So, yeah, I suppose, don't know whether it feels like a defeat, but it definitely feels disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Jim? Did you come out of that yesterday? Because I had a conversation for the little video, post-match video we do on Twitter, and I spoke to Dave Seed about it. And, you know, I'd said to him that I felt like it was a defeat because of that flurry at the end. Did you feel the same?
Well, I think beforehand, because of what Liverpool have been like recently, I just didn't want to lose. But watching that Liverpool side yesterday, I mean, they were nothing special. I mean, they were there for the taking, really. And then to see how we could have played if we played it in the whole game like we did in the last, say, 20 minutes, we should have beaten them. So, I mean, I didn't feel like it was a defeat because I still had that sense of relief that we haven't lost a derby. But
yeah.
There was a feeling that was a great opportunity to kind of put this hoodoo to bed and get a win over them, and we squandered it, really.
That's what I mean in terms of, like, it's everything intensified yesterday. It was the fact that they are quite distracted, the fact that they made so many changes, the fact that we'd had that flurry, you know, just before the end of the match and had two chances to win it, the fact that when you start to think they're only going to get better, you know, and we've got a lot of catching up to do. It's not like next season Liverpool are going to be worse. They're going to be better than they are this season. So it's going to be even harder to beat them next season. And that's why, for me, it did feel like a defeat, especially with the two, you know, opportunities that we had. I mean, I had my hands on, like, my knees. And after that second one went in, I was, like, kind of bent. It was almost like I'd been playing. I felt exhausted after that, just that last 10 minutes. Because before that, it didn't really feel too much like a derby yesterday. It was a bit of a... It was a really strange one, and I think that's highlighted by the fact that Match of the Day put it on last. Like, yeah. When have you ever heard of a derby being on last on Match of the Day? Do you know what I mean, Grouch? Did you notice that?
I wonder if that's
that?
Just because, in some ways, we're not looking forward to a sort of a special game now, because we're not really... I don't mean expecting to get anything out of it. We're almost... ourselves going into it with a damage limitation mindset, and it's not good. That shouldn't be what a derby's about. It shouldn't be what the Merseyside derby's about, and we shouldn't be going into any game like that.
Where does it rank? I'll ask this to you, Jim, as you do write about football quite a bit, and I think you've covered like other like. Do you know what I mean? You've written about topics other than Everton, is the point I'm trying to make. Where do you think the Merseyside derby ranks now in general kind of football derbies?
In terms of kind of international or just in this country?
In terms of both, like in terms of interest, like how much interest do you think it actually generates now, the Merseyside derby, and where do people rank it in comparison to the excitement that they, or how excited they get about other derbies?
I think much less than it once did. I think probably the high point would have been the 80s, obviously because both teams were, you know, enjoying success. But I think since then, the Manx derby has grown in importance. Then you've got the London clubs doing well now. And maybe the sense that it can't help that it seems like almost a foregone conclusion that, you know, Everton won't win. So therefore, you're watching this thing for an obvious Liverpool win or a draw. that, so I guess for neutral, that sort of saps some of the excitement out of it a bit. So, yeah, I think it's diminished. I mean, it's still really important for us. It's still important locally, but you know, you don't get people kind of. I think when you like you see Sky trying to hype it up, I think that makes more sense for the Mank game yesterday. And then again, when you watch it, the Mank game was you know it was a kind of exciting to watch, wasn't it? Whereas I think for neutrals watching our game, you think, what's the fuss about?
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, TalkSport did a little poll earlier. I think it was TalkSport. It may have been somebody who works for TalkSport, like one of the DJs. They're not DJs, are they? One of the people who has a show on there, like Adrian Durham or something like that. But anyway, they'd put what is the best derby, and they'd selected four derbies. I think one was the whatever the one is in Turkey again. I can't remember. Galatasaray and Besiktas, isn't it? I think. And then it was I think it was Rangers and Celtic, and then it was the Manchester one, and then there was another one, maybe the Milan one, and they missed out the Merseyside derby. And for a split second, I was going to tweet them and go, why have you left the Merseyside derby out? And then I thought, I can't do that, because if someone goes back to me and says, Adam, tell me why the Merseyside derby should be considered better, depending on your definition of that, than those other derbies, and now I would struggle for the reasons that you've already said. Grouch, do you know what I mean? Is, you know, you obviously still live in the city, you're from the city. Oh, yeah. Do you feel this damages a little bit of Scouse pride, the fact that people aren't really that bothered anymore about the Merseyside derby, it seems?
Maybe a little. I mean I'm surprised they put, I would find it hard to justify Rangers and Celtic, though, as well, because, I mean, the league itself, I mean, even Rangers aren't even, they're not really, are they? Now, I mean, Celtic qualify for the Champions League sort of by default, because they get a spot and they happen to finish top because of the only decent size up there. That's just because, I mean, is that atmosphere? I don't know. If you go on an atmosphere, I'd say maybe ours is, yeah, one of the best, but football-wise, it's a lot different than it was. I mean, isn't the most common score in the derby is a draw anyway, isn't it? So you don't see that many over the... I think you'd have to ask our mate Bradley Cates on that one, wouldn't you? But I'm pretty sure it's a 1-1 draw. I don't know. There's nothing riding on the game, was there? Certainly not. They're not going to go and win the league. We're not going to go much up or down from where we are. So there was... apart from local interest, there was very little outside interest anyway. So I can understand. I mean, it wasn't the best game in the world either, was it? Historically, it probably has been, like Jim said, certainly in the 80s, even to our sort of, mid-90s. But now, I wouldn't say it was just another game. But yeah, I mean, it certainly lost something to neutrals, at least, yeah.
How much of this derby, Merseyside derby fatigue ebbed away at the players, and also the fact that there wasn't much riding on it? Because a lot of those lads aren't from the city now. You know, they're employed by Scouse clubs, but they don't. You know what I mean? It's not like the old days, in inverted commas. So, in your opinion, I'll ask you first, Grouch, and then you, Jim. How did you sense that maybe that the players kind of were going through the motions a little bit too?
I think our players have been going through the motions for a long time now. In a way, yeah. I mean, you've got people like Seamus Coleman who will always run. I don't think that's just yesterday. I think that's been our main problem for the season. Morgan Schneiderlin accepted yesterday. He seemed to have a decent game yesterday, but that sums his season up. He's been apathetic. You could probably say that for a few others as well. So, yeah, I'd probably say you're right on that.
Yeah, Jim, though, the thing is, though, it shouldn't ever wait at the play, should it? I mean, I know the fact that they, you know, they can both make arguments, both teams can make arguments of the fact that you know, there's not a lot for them to play for yesterday. However, it's still a derby. You're still playing in a Merseyside derby, and as a player, you don't get too many of them that come around. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think Liverpool have a better case yesterday, because they've clearly got, you know, more important things to think about. But I think after the season we've had, and there've been so many disappointments, and we're only asking for, like, you know, we're not asking for much now. You're thinking there's a chance to pay the fans back, to really go out there and just try and give them one little high point from what's been quite a poor season. I think just, you know, just for pride. And I think the fact that so few of them seemed arse just really sums up not just this season but kind of these players and whatever they're like now. They can't even go out there and give us that. We're not asking for a cup win. We aren't going to win the league. We're asking to beat our rivals at home when they're there for the taking. And they can't even be asked doing that, which is disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. One player who was extremely disappointing for me yesterday, it was Yannick Bolasie. And there was this really weird thing, lads, in the first half where the ball was played to him. And he was like just... He hadn't quite reached the halfway line yet. He was inside our half, but anyway, the ball got played to him, and he did that thing that you do when you're a kid, where you wait for the ball to come to you, and then someone nicks in, and you know what I mean. And I think he went out of play, or he gave a foul. But anyway, like, everybody around me went ballistic at him because it was kind of like he just watched the ball. And there was also times when it seemed like he was going through the motions and he was walking around. And I was a little bit disappointed in him yesterday. Grouch, am I being a bit harsh there?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he had his best game. It was just one of those games where all his little flicks and things didn't come off, although he did nearly score with a cracker shot. That, if that was sort of the only thing of note, he sort of did while he was on the pitch, wasn't it? So, no, I don't think you're being harsh. I think there's probably a case for someone like Ademola Lookman probably being a better shout for the first team berth in his place at the moment. But, you know, I don't think he can have behind the "I've just come back from injury" thing either. He's probably up to full match fitness and everything now. So, no, it was just not his best game.
And Jim, what did you think of Michael Keane's performance at the back? There's some people saying that was his best performance in an Everton shirt. Do you agree?
I think he looks a lot better, having a better defence around him. I think that's the key. Having Jag next to him and having Coleman and Baines, and get the defence in general looks much stronger. And perhaps that's given him a bit of confidence now, whereas previously he's had, like, you know, Williams next to him, and he's had Martina, and you know, we didn't look particularly strong. I think he's a player who really needs time to recover his confidence, and having those kind of seasoned pros around him hopefully means that'll be the case, and he'll become the player that we thought we bought.
The only issue is with that is the fact that I'm getting concerned that he's developing a relationship with Jagielka now on the pitch, which is very beneficial to him, but Jagielka cannot be a long-term solution to Everton at the back, and the chances are we're going to have to go out and find another centre-half this summer who can be more of a long-term replacement. And that means then that next season we're going to go into it with Michael Keane potentially having to develop a new partnership with another centre-half. And that for me is a concern for next season, and you know, another reason why I'm not going to put too much expectation on next season either, because you know the side needs to, we need to bring in quite a few additions. But that's one where I'm thinking, you know, it's a little bit sad that Jagielka is the age that he's at now, for many reasons, but also because I feel like Michael Keane is developing a relationship with him and it's very beneficial to him. And then, but that isn't what we can do going forward. Do you see what my concern is there, Jim?
Yeah, but you kind of, isn't that the point of having kind of a recruitment plan in place, that you recognise that you've got this player who needs, you know, a bit of confidence and to learn from somebody. So when you go out and buy a new player, you get one who's established maybe, and then you don't just buy as you did in the summer. You just go and buy players that you fancy. You think about a plan and how the players that come in will benefit the players that are already there and link with them. So you'd hope everyone would see this and think, right, Alex, we'll go out and get someone with a few years' experience who's maybe kind of, you know, 27, 28, and can hang around for a while and bring Keane on. But that would be the case if Everton put in place that sort of planning, which, you know, hasn't been the case this season. So you'd hope that things will change going forward, and we will start buying the right players for the team.
Yeah, you'd hope. Grouch, Jordan Pickford yesterday pulled off a really, really good save in the first half. In fact, two good saves. What was your thoughts on Pickford? Was he your man of the match?
Yeah, I think he was definitely. Yeah, I thought. I mean, he did a couple of great saves. I don't think he did his England chances any harm either. I don't think he was troubled as much as I feared he was going to be. But he couldn't afford the concentration lapse yesterday, which is good that he hasn't had that. So yet it was a clean sheet against a pretty free scoring side at the moment, which was good for him. Yeah. I also dread to think where we'd be if we hadn't have had him this season. I mean, I know he hasn't been 100% maybe, but he's been really very good indeed.
No, I agree. I thought he was good yesterday. That save from Solanke when it dropped to him, and I was thinking, oh, here we go. That goal would have epitomised our relationship with Liverpool Football Club. I think the way that it bounced off Coleman, one of our favourite lads, drops to Dominic Solanke, who's just. You know, it will probably be at Crystal Palace next season. And, you know what I mean? Right, it was right in front of him, and it took Pickford's... It wasn't the best shot, but it was hit with some pace, I think. And, you know, he gets down and parries it away, so he did well there. Grouch, we've spoken a little bit about whether or not people care in terms of the playing staff. What about the management? Do you sense that Allardyce yesterday wasn't really fully into that, or what?
Perhaps he knows he's out the door. Maybe he's put either been told something or has put two and two together. Apathy, maybe not the wrong word, but going through the motions. You said before, I think it's very much that.
Yeah.
Select aside, put aside out now that we're saving. Someone's got to be the manager, so it might as well be him until the end of May. I just hope they've got someone lined up. Yeah, I don't think. I'd probably say Sammy Lee looked more bothered than him, and I think that's saying something in a derby.
It did. It's a good, really good observation, actually, because whenever I looked over at Sammy Lee, he was bouncing around again, as he does.
That's it. Sammy Lee looked like the most animated of all the coaching staff, and he's an ex-Liverpool player, didn't he?
It's true. But, it's true.
Yeah, I think the writing's on the wall there for him. And I don't wish this to sound personal, but I think, good, we need someone better. Me and you, that podcast we did after Coleman got sacked, I thought, you know, we both said absolutely not. We ended up giving him a chance, and then didn't he say something this week, something like, well, a point against any top six side is a bonus. That did it for me. I thought, whether it's Liverpool or not, you can't go into games with that attitude.
No.
I don't think even the manager placed that much importance on yesterday. In the nicest possible way, I'll be glad to see him gone.
And Jim, we've spoken about Allardyce at length as well. We did again last week. But were you a little bit disappointed at the fact that, you know, yesterday was a really good opportunity for him to potentially send a team out there to have a good go? And at least then, when we look back at his time at Everton, we go, well, he did give us that derby win, which ended that run. You know, the fact that I don't think he took that opportunity either yesterday, you know?
I'm not entirely sure he can play any other way.
Yeah, you've really said this as well, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you watched it yesterday. I mean, we were so conservative in the first half. We had our wide men pulling back.
Yes.
To try and counter a threat that wasn't there.
Playing it full back, mate. Yannick Bilassi again.
Yeah, and it wasn't until kind of they realised, you know, late on that there was no real threat from Liverpool that they began attacking. I think he went out there thinking, let's get a point. I think that's just his mentality. He's so kind of, it's almost like a siege mentality. He's so used to coming in and playing a certain way and rescuing clubs. He just doesn't play expansive football. And you're right, yesterday was, you know, such a good opportunity. And, we're in no danger of going down. There was no reason yesterday to not just go out there and attack. But I don't think he can. And you do get the impression, I agree, that he looks unasked, and I think he knows he's done.
You look at him, and you could put it, if you saw Sam Allardyce's picture as Everton manager in a paper, it just, the captions need to be Allardyce, whatever. That's it, isn't it? Whatever. Nah. You know, that's the bit that's got me, really. That, as you say, the non-arsedness.
Non-arsedness. I like that. That's a perfect way to finish part one. In the second half of the Grand Old Team podcast, we'll come back and we'll read some of your three-word reviews. Stay right there. It's a... Okay, so welcome back to part two of this Grand Old Team podcast, the Derby reaction. And this is a new feature to the Grand Old Team. Started it last week and we'll do it again this week as well because I quite enjoyed it. It's we're getting three-word reviews very quickly from Twitter. And Grand Old Team tweeted this out yesterday. I did the first one from my account and they did their one from their account at 20 plus 2 yesterday. So these are some of the responses we got. Brad says, F off Sam. Pretty standard there and to the point. Andy McNamara makes a good point. He says, stifled by fear. Jim, just quickly, is he referring to then the past experiences against Liverpool, or is he talking about Liverpool of this season, which are potent and can do you damage?
I don't know, really. I mean, I thought he meant kind of just the way we play. I mean, I think in general we look fearful. I think you've got a manager who maybe encourages that with the way he sets up. So, I mean, you know, possibly it's both, the fact that we are, you know, stifled by fear of Liverpool in general, but also we seem to play so cautiously all the time, like we're constantly in danger of you know, shipping loads of goals. And that might be the case against some teams, but There are lots of teams that we should be able to go out there and batter. Mm. And so perhaps it's both, yeah.
Okay. Sam Littleboy says, Balas. That's a funky surname, isn't it? Sam Littleboy. We had somebody last week, Grouch, who tweeted us, and their name was Stephen Gerrard. And I thought for a second as I read it, I was like, this is a fucking wind-up. And then I realised that was actually his name. So what? I don't know which one I'd prefer, Sam Littleboy or Stephen Gerrard. No, I definitely
That's
prefer
unlucky,
Sam
That's unlucky, that, isn't it? That's
yeah,
your name.
Sam Littleboy. Anyway, he says Balassi is shite. Apologies for the bad language there. If you listen to this with the kids in the car. Grouch, is Balassi that bad or what? I mean, you have already given your thoughts, but do you agree with Sam completely?
Well,
there?
Maybe yesterday, yeah. On the whole, no. I'd say he was inconsistent as a lot of wingers can be. I think that's a bit harsh, but I can see what he's getting at in relation to yesterday, certainly.
Cool. Okay, that's fair enough. That's very diplomatic of you, as always, Grouch. Pitch Black
was that, was
says...
Was that fence-sitting enough? Fucking,
yeah. No, not fence-sitting. Don't do yourself a mis... Don't do that, mate, to yourself. You're just very diplomatic and fair. I like it, Groucho. That's why I have you fair on enough. This show. Well, it's not. Absolutely. I have you on the show for many reasons, but that's one of them too. Pitch Black says, too many Dominics. He would be correct there. you can't have too many Dominics. That is a thing. And then Courtney White says, sack them all. Courtney, if you are a big Evertonian, you do want to come onto the Grand Old Team podcast, then get in contact, because we've never had a female on the Grand Old Team podcast, and this is 2018. We've got to try and, you know, tick many boxes, and we haven't ticked the box of like a female guest. So, you know, if you do like your football and you want to come on and have a chat, then let us know. Anyway, sack them all. Yeah, fair, not all of them. You know, I would leave like Leighton Baines in place, Seamus Coleman, Jordan Pickford, but fair enough. You know, that was straight after the game, so I understand you being a little bit angry. Blue Bessick needs to change that, says in the bin. Callum Bale says F off Sam. Jack Rundle says an opportunity missed. I mean, we've already kind of spoken about that, lads, and it does feel like that yesterday. What else have we got here? Charles Hayes says, get some creativity. Now, here we go. I'll ask this to you both, but first I'll ask it to you, Jim. Is that, again, have we got an issue because we're missing Sigurdsson, or is it because of the manager? You know, what do you think was the main reason yesterday for that lack of creativity? Was it the way that we set up?
I think, yeah, definitely. I think we have players in the squad who are creative. We could probably do with maybe a couple more. But, as I was saying earlier, we're so negative. I mean, he has Walcott and Balassi acting as extra fullbacks, and they're the players who should be out there creating something for you and making some magic. So I think it's entirely down to the manager at the moment.
Grouch, do you agree with Jim there? I suspect you do, given what you've
said. Yeah, I can't really improve on that. I mean, like, we were playing a five in midfield at one point at home. You know, with those two sort of covering the fullback positions, as Jim said, yeah, which at home for me now.
Okay. Daniel Roth says, bye bye, Sam. I think he's probably right. Rob Cooper says, should have won. Now, after the game, I did. I might drop some of this audio into the podcast. because it's quite entertaining getting thoughts from Evertonians straight away. But we had a lad on, and he, you know, he was very animated, and he said that he thought that Everton should have won 4-0. I thought that was a little bit of a push, but fair enough.
Oh, is this that lad who thought we dominated? Sorry, I mean, I don't, as you say, I don't mean to, you know, poo-poo anyone's opinion or anything, but is he the lad that said we dominated, was he?
Yeah, he said we dominated. He also said he'd prefer... what did he say? He said something about he'd prefer them to not win the Champions League than us to win a trophy or something like that. And, and he said, I'm very bitter. And I said, yeah, you are. I can tell. Mm. He got a lot of abuse from the Liverpool lads. Dreadful stuff. So we had to, you know, we decided to take it down. I was reluctant. I didn't send it to Danny. And then Danny was like, I thought you normally get three. And I said, yeah, I've got one more, but I'm not sure whether you want to see it. And anyway, so it was a bad idea from the start. But I think we've got a pretty decent case to say that yesterday we probably should have won that game, right? Just down to that last 10 minutes, Grouch, you agree?
I think so, yeah. The last 15 minutes, we could have scored a few. And we should have done as well. That long could have. We certainly should have done.
Yeah, Patrick Hogan says, learn to shoot. Jim, this is a frustration, isn't it, when you watch Everton? Because it's like, when we do sometimes drive forward, the likes of Tom Davies picks the ball up and runs at people. Yannick Bolasie did it yesterday and obviously got a shot off. I do want Everton to have a go more. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there are times when this happened yesterday when we're in good positions and kind of going forward and the play seems to pause and stop and then a pass goes back. I mean, that happens so often when you've got some going forward. And you think, as a fan, you think the forward pass will come. There's somebody out wide. There's someone making a run, and they check themselves, and then the pass goes back, and then your opponents regroup. And you're thinking, why are you doing that? It's really weird. Again, it's very conservative. It's like people aren't willing to just take a risk.
Yeah, it is. I'd love us to have a go just a little bit more, to be honest, and see what happens, especially when you're playing against keepers like theirs. I mean, earlier on in the season, they were like chopping and changing in that position. Every other week, it seemed like there'd be a crisis with Liverpool's goalkeepers. So, you know, just have a go and see what happens. And the best one we got yesterday was, I think, off of Toffee Tickler, who said, Hibbert caretaker manager. Yeah, maybe, you know, let's see what happens. Right, lads, thank you for coming on to the Grand Old Team podcast, as always. Enjoy the rest of your week. By the way, to everybody listening, we're not going to be posting to SoundCloud anymore. We found a new podcast provider. I've been reading about SoundCloud potentially going out of business, and we needed to find something new that can hopefully get us onto Spotify. And if you talk to Alexa and say, play the Grand Old Team podcast, then it'll play the Grand Old Team podcast. So, so if you do listen via SoundCloud, then just choose one of the other various podcast apps around, or iTunes, or just keep an eye out for the website for where we are. As always, thank you for coming on, lads. Groucho, where can people find you?
Oh, you always ask me this and you know it better than me. I think it's at GOT_Groucho, I think.
Ding, 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 ding. That is correct.
Did I get it right?
You did, yeah, well done.
Yeah, that's the first time I've got that right.
Jimbo. Oh, shit. I did it again. I called you Jimbo. You
don't yeah, it's all right. Don't worry about it.
Okay, Jim, where can people find you?
I'm at Jimmy Keo.
There you go. And remember to buy Jim's books as well. He's got loads of really good books out. As always, thank you for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington. You can find me at @PartAdam on Twitter and Instagram and whatever. So, as always, thank you for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. Remember to give this a share, like, and subscribe. All the best.
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go whoa.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.